The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Super psyched.
The abundance of water.
Super psyched.
The food.
To have you today. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your super waterman, your ambassador for water. And we might, I'm going to kind of hedge my bets here. We may have a really great guest on the show today. Was confirmed. Not sure if they got snow stuck or whatever. But Margaret Moulton of Berkshire Grown is due to be in studio. So we'll check on that. Make sure that happens. If not, we still have a great show for you today. Really focusing on H2O, which is what we do here. And So It Flows. I'm your super waterman, your ambassador for water, bringing you a rock and roll show for water from Pittsfield. We are the rock and roll show for water that you did not know Pittsfield had. Super psyched to be with you. We're going to start off with a really good tune. A little bit of Styx, a little bit of classic rock. And let's see what we got going on there. It is Styx, Come Sail Away. Super psyched. Be with you, love your water, and come sail away with us.
Gathering of angels appeared above my head. This time I know I'm bound to spit it back up. I didn't want this salty substitute. Just not going to do. I need some air. If I'm going to live through this experience, reminds me of a clock that just won't tick. I wanna wake up from this concussion, but my dream is just not done. I'm late again. It's just one of those bad days. Look outside and be careful what you ride. You just might find that you're out of time to swim ashore. If I drift long enough, I'll be home.
Ball and I read.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched to be with you today. I'm your super water man, your ambassador for water. Psyched to be with you. We are the only rock and roll show for water that there is all over the world, right here from the heart of the Berkshires, all throughout the planet. Check us out on all your major podcast platforms. Check out our Substack, And So It Flows Water blog on Substack, and get your water content on. I am your super water man, Leslie Gabriel, your ambassador for water. We're here at Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR in Lee. I have Margaret Moulton in studio, and she'll be with us in just a minute, talking about Berkshire Grown and how they're helping folks in our region get closer to the food that they eat. And we'll have a nice conversation regarding it. Because food, water, they mix. Guess what? That's true. You just heard Cypress Hill hits from the bong. That is not a way to sell more cannabis, but that's actually to remind you it's a water pipe. And then before that, we had, what was that song? Drink the Water by Jack Johnson. And then we started the show off with Come Sail Away on a Boat by Styx. A little bit of classic rock. You could also count on us to bring you the kind of water music that speaks to you and speaks to water, and it's really something for us to engage in. A little bit of water news coming your way. This is from Truth from the Ground Up. This is from the new lead. TNL is what they go by, but it's thenewlead.org. And that is, let's see, what do we have going on? Trump enrages MAHA, which is Make America Healthy Again, with order granting immunity to glyphosate pesticide production. Isn't that interesting? In a move enraging health and environmental activists, President Donald Trump has signed an executive order protecting production of and providing immunity for glyphosate-based herbicides such as Roundup, which has been linked to cancer and are the subject of widespread U.S. litigation against Bayer and Monsanto, the makers of that wonderful stuff that seems to be really hurting people. The order also protects domestic production of phosphorus, which is used in making glyphosate and other agricultural chemicals, such as a range of other products, including some in military defense, robust domestic elemental phosphorus mining, and United States-based production of glyphosate. Based herbicides is central to American economic and national security. The order states, that's my added editorial. The February 18th order cites authority under the Defense Production Act and instructs U.S. Department of Agriculture under the Defense Department Act. Under the instructs U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins to issue orders and regulations as may be necessary to implement this order. The White House said the threat of reduced or ceased production of phosphorus and glyphosate herbicides gravely endangers national security and defense, which includes food supply security. Doesn't say food supply health, says security, and that's my added emphasis. And the executive order cites glyphosate as a cornerstone of this nation's agricultural productivity and rural economy. And you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O here at WTBR-FM 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio, and 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And glyphosate, for those of you who don't know, is owned by Bayer, which owns Monsanto. And Monsanto and Bear are also involved in the local PCB stuff going around our wonderful Housatonic River Valley. So you want to find out a little bit more about that by doing your research and become an informed advocate for cleaning up our water supply. And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Got a little comedy coming your way, a little poetry later, and then also Margaret Moulton in just a few minutes. So looking to have you with us, and take care of who you are.
Yes, Pittsfield has a rock and roll water show. Water's voice from the Berkshires to all around our big blue marble. You're listening to And So It Flows on WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, where water gets loud, water music, water culture, comedy, poetry, deep water conversations. I'm Leslie Gabriel, your Super Waterman Ambassador for Water. Find us on Apple, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Podcast Republic, and anywhere you get your podcast. We've got some more music coming your way. Super psyched to be with you. And stay tuned. Love your H2O.
I used to sell pesticides for a living. I don't know if you can tell that by looking at me, but I did that for a long time. I sold pesticides to Lowe's and Home Depot. I did that for a long time. And people would come in there and they would ask weird questions. You know, they'd be like, I'm looking for something organic. I'd like to kill the insects, but not harm the environment. I'm like, well, how about a shoe? Because I'm selling pesticides here, and that stuff is poison, all right? I'm hurting stuff out here.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes. Watching the ships roll in, and then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home, Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. 'Cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Yes, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. That was Otis Redding sitting on the dock of the bay. Super psyched to be with you today, bringing you all things H2O from the Berkshires to all around the world. Special guest, got Margaret Moulton from Berkshire Grown. Berkshire Grown, I guess, from what I understand, works directly with farmers, bringing people closer to their food supply, food systems, right here in Berkshire County and nearby. And super psyched to have you with us here, Margaret. Why don't you say hi to our water and food loving people around the world.
Hey there. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
Nice to have you. Nice to have you. So what exactly, I mean, for folks who don't know about Berkshire Grown, why don't you share a little bit first about how you started with Berkshire Grown, like a little bit about who you are, and then a little bit about Berkshire Grown and what Berkshire Grown is up to.
Sure. I moved to the Berkshires in 2015, and prior to that time, I had worked a lot in educational program in museums, and I worked as a photographer and volunteered a lot in education at a local farm down in New York where I was living at the time at Stone Barn Center for Agriculture. And I learned a lot about what it means to connect to your farmer, to really have locally grown food that's specific to the climate that you're growing and eating in, and even more, connecting the eaters to the growers.
Yeah.
So when I moved up here, I initially worked for the trustees and helped set up programming around Berkshire County and other parts of Massachusetts. And honestly, when Donald Trump was elected in 2016, I really felt like I needed to do something super specific to support our community. And this job at Berkshire Grown came up a couple years later, and I thought, that's it. That's the job that I feel like I can connect to. So I started at Berkshire Grown in 2018, and my real goal initially was to connect with the farmers so I could get to know them and understand where they were coming from, what their concerns, what their successes and challenges were, and let the community know, really educate the community about what the people who were growing their food were doing every day. That still is a real concern for all of Berkshire Grown, but a lot of that, it extends kind of like a spider web or a food web, if you will. We're really talking about creating connections, connections between farmers and consumers, farmers and wholesalers, farmers and chefs, getting people to the farms if they're interested, really getting them to the farmers markets, buying directly from a farmer.
Nice. Nice. That's really, that's amazing. So you're telling me that tomatoes don't grow on the vine with plastic covering on them. Is that what you're saying? It comes even before that.
It does come before that. Although I laugh because there are farmers who are growing dahlias, you know, those beautiful flowers, who will put a little bag over it to keep the bugs off.
Yeah,
so sometimes, but I can't imagine doing that with an entire crop
milk,
of tomatoes.
Milk doesn't come in just from cartons.
Right, it does not come in plastic bottles.
Something before that.
Yeah. And tomatoes wouldn't be native to this area, but there are a lot of, you know, we certainly have summers that are hot enough. Farmers, this is probably not news to anybody who's listening, but farmers who live in the Northeast have to use seeds that work in our shorter growing season, that maybe don't have that hot, dry summer that a native climate for tomatoes would have. Another thing farmers do around here to extend their growing season so they can grow for our local community more year-round is to, they call it the shoulder seasons, and they build high tunnels. So they're not greenhouses. They're not heated.
High tunnels.
High tunnels. So they're tall, you know, probably up as high as 10 or 12 feet at the peak, and they look like a long tunnel. Sometimes they're as long as 200
underground?
Feet.
No,
they're above ground.
Above ground. Okay, gotcha.
But you walk in them, and there's all kinds of ways to keep that air temperature warm, but basically it keeps plants above freezing. So they're not growing tomatoes all winter, but you can easily go to your local farmer's market and get greens that are grown right now. Get chard, lettuce. We grow a lot of, we, not me, but farmers around here grow a lot of what's called storage crops. Yeah. So carrots can grow and be stored for a long time. Certain kinds of squash can be stored throughout the winter. So you really have to look at what can I grow in this climate and what can people eat year round. I think for people, if this is going all over the world, the Berkshires is a very specific geographic, geological environment. We're not farmland like the Midwest. We don't have acres and acres of open land that you can drive a big combine tractor down. Very small plots of land. It's really ideally suited more to dairy farming with smaller pastures that the cows can move around, or goats or sheep. And then there are vegetable farmers who find their way in that soil, but a lot of it is rocky soil and takes a lot of care and maintenance and clearing in order to grow anything. But I think what draws people here is the community. People really want to know where their food comes from. You know, we had a farmer's market this last Saturday in between two giant snowstorms. We had hundreds of people coming in to buy directly from the farmers there.
That makes such a big difference. One of the draws, like you said, of Berkshire County is there's a strong community, family connectedness to the local neighborhood. Neighborhoods, even though there may not be neighborhoods, because sometimes people live in the middle of literally nowhere. But around farming, and you had mentioned it may not be like other places, what makes this region really cool as opposed to, let's say, going out to Missouri and driving down Route 70 going towards Colorado, is it does not smell like manure all the time.
Well, there are places you can go find that lovely aroma.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few, I'm sure. But, you know, not most of the time. Because if you drive through the region, you're not going to have that manure swell everywhere. And that, you know, I appreciate that. And it's kind of a joke. But, you know, how can we talk about poop when we're talking about... There's manure has a value there, too.
It absolutely does. You know, when you talk about inputs into soil... A lot of farmers work hard on their compost. A lot of them have to buy compost in because they have so much land, but they're not using chemical farm inputs here. Most of them care a lot about the soil, soil health, soil continuity over time, bringing that soil back maybe from being compacted by dairy farms for years, loosening it up and making it viable for vegetables.
Do you have statistics of how many of the farmers are either organic or no spray or anything like that? Do you know? Do you have numbers on that? Any data on that?
I don't. You know, you and I talked about this earlier. A lot of what we do is promoting farmers. But we don't really do a lot of data-driven work. We are not out there talking to farmers about specifically what kind of inputs they're putting onto their crops or their land.
Or telling people where to go. Let's say somebody comes here and they're new farmer to the region and they say, hey, I'm concerned I want to go in this particular direction, biodynamic or organic. Do you help people find the way to that or not?
It's an interesting question. Land access is a big issue, especially in the Berkshires, partly because what I was talking about, you know, the land comes in these smaller swatches around. So a lot of farmers will grow in 2 acres here, 3 acres down the road, another few acres down the road here, and drive around to those different areas. That's not uncommon in any of Western Massachusetts. But affording land in the Berkshires, which is very close to Boston, very close to New York City, and very beautiful. So people want to come and build their second home here. Yeah. They want to retire here. So it really drives land prices up.
Totally.
So...
Well, let's say somebody wants to, or they came in, or maybe they're a multi-generational farmer from the region, and they say, hey, I'm interested in going this path with farming. Do you direct them to those different paths? Do you say, hey, here's a resource for you. Go this way if you want to find this thing out, like organically.
Sometimes.
Biodynamic
sometimes.
Or something similar.
Yeah, I mean, farmers are so smart. Farmers are scientists. Farmers are artists. They're so creative and they're problem solvers. So if they find the land that they think is going to work for them, they've already done so much research. They probably can tell you exactly what soil is in that area.
Mm-hmm.
They can probably tell you what they're going to have to add to it, what they're going to have to mitigate. What we can do for them is help them. A lot of times we do a lot of technical assistance, so we might be helping them, connecting them to somebody to help them set up a better irrigation system.
That's
We often will, you know, farming isn't all in the dirt. We often do a lot of technical assistance around setting up QuickBooks, how to plan, how to do your business plan. We do sort of targeted technical assistance.
Do you help them also get involved with different possible buyers, whether it's community-supported agriculture and how to sell shares to the local community? Do you help them get in touch with end users like restaurants or markets that are buying local produce?
We don't connect them to a wholesale buyer, but we might train them, offer training in how they should best present themselves to a wholesale buyer. We did use, before the pandemic, we used to have something, it was an evening where we would bring local wholesale buyers and restaurateurs and distributors in, and farmers could sign up to meet with them and show their products. I would say that Berkshire Grown really kind of rode that wave in the early 2000s of farm to table to help farmers make those connections and learn how, but farmers did. They learned how, and they don't really need us to make those connections anymore. But where we are needed is the other side of buying, which is the community members.
Direct to consumer
purchasing is really important. I can't stress enough how the extra dollars, pennies make a difference when you buy local. You'll say, oh, but you know, it's so much more expensive to buy these local eggs. But that's because the farmer is not getting subsidized by the government. You're buying a very pure product that has no pesticides or herbicides that were involved in that farmland. And these farmers are caring for these animals in a beautiful way. So when you're buying that egg, you can often buy them directly from the farmer at the farmer's market. Also, a lot of the grocery stores around here support the local farms. You can go to any, you know, Big Y, Guido's, Co-op.
They all have
local product. So what a lot of what Berkshire Grown is doing now is trying to talk more about our food system. We really believe in regional, local food systems. So it's not the national supply chain that security could be threatened by, because our food system is very supported by local communities. So you spend a few extra dollars to support your local farmers, but you're supporting your region to be a viable economic.
Apples don't have to be shipped from California.
They don't. You can get them right from down the road here.
Wow, the cider too.
All these farms around here. Cheese, so many cheese makers around here.
Sorry, Switzerland.
You know what people don't realize when you buy Cabot cheese in the market, which is available everywhere and looks like any other kind of cheese, that's Massachusetts milk going into Cabot cheese.
Nice.
So it doesn't maybe have the actual farm name. Those are agricultural co-ops, but it's Massachusetts grown milk.
That's really great. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O and food today. Talking with Margaret Moulton from Berkshire Grown, because food doesn't come from a chemical factory or doesn't have to. It actually comes from the ground up. And that's really good to know, because when you're closer to your food, you're closer to your health and well-being. I think it was Hippocrates, food is thy medicine. So it's super important to kind of peel away the layers and get connected. How often are the winter farmers markets, and where do they happen in Berkshire County?
Good question. Berkshire Grown runs winter markets once a month. So we do the third Saturday of the month. But anybody who wants to show up at a local winter farmers market in Berkshire County, there's one every weekend. I believe it's Pittsfield the first weekend, North Adams the second weekend, our Great Barrington, which is in Housatonic, on the third weekend, and Williamstown on the fourth weekend.
Cool.
Yeah, so yeah. You can, and the great thing about that is you can use your SNAP dollars there. And if you have SNAP dollars in Massachusetts, you also get HIP, and you can only spend HIP on local produce. So the farmer's market is the best way to spend those HIP dollars.
Yeah, spend, you know, use that money wisely and have it spread so you can get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah. And it's, you know, one of the things I love about our winter farmer's market, and I'm sure it's the same with others, is becomes a gathering place for people. They don't just come and shop and leave. They come and they hang around. They talk to the farmers. They run into their friends. You stay for an hour and a half just hanging out and talking. There's usually live music, and it becomes a community gathering spot. And I think everybody would understand that food is a thing that can bring people together.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's community.
It's
really
community.
Quite the populist thing.
So, you know,
we
all need it. And I think one of the things that, for better or for worse, happened during the pandemic is a lot of people who were facing food insecurity, and it's only gotten worse since then. We were able, along with a lot of partners, to jump in and purchase food from local farms, and with lots of funding from foundations and individuals and government, state government, we got hundreds of thousands of dollars of locally purchased from Berkshire and Hudson Valley farmers to food pantries and food access sites around Berkshire County. And it really, I think the dignity that goes along with, you know, if your family is facing food insecurity and where you need to go to get food on the table is a food pantry, you're not just getting dried eggs. You're getting fresh eggs from the farmer down the road.
Yeah.
You're getting fresh produce that was picked yesterday or the day before. It's not coming from far away. It's not coming from around the world. It's coming from your own community. We have one of our local egg growers early on in the pandemic. At the time, she had bright pink egg cartons. And she also sold at the farmer's market. And somebody came up to her there and said, "Oh my gosh, you're the farmer who is supplying my food pantry with these eggs. Thank you so much." Like, that connection is amazing. That's a really healthy food system when people can recognize
that
really, and talk to the grower.
That's really community-supported agriculture. Are you familiar with community-supported agriculture, which the
it's
farmer's
market?
It's
CSA week right now.
Wow.
Last week and this week are CSA week, yeah.
Do you have, how many of the local farms or the Berkshire-grown farms are CSAs? And before I go there, for folks who don't know what a CSA, community-supported agriculture, other than the farmer's market, which is community-supported by the local folks who go there, there's this way of bypassing normal farm credit banks to get money on loan with an interest rate. Community supported agriculture means different families buy shares or split shares for several hundred dollars a year and then get access to food over the course of the year. Now, how many of the farms locally are part of that kind of movement?
Oh, you know, I can't give you that data, but I can tell you that you can get. So you're exactly right. It's a farm share. And what it does, especially in a climate like ours, where a lot of farmers are not growing, therefore not selling during the winter, they don't have much income. So a CSA can tide those farmers over and allow them to buy the seeds, to start hiring the staff before the season begins. And it's, you're supporting your local farmer. It can be fruit. It can be, a lot of CSA shares are vegetable shares. There are CSA shares that are for meat. You can get dairy CSA shares, egg shares. Some vegetable farms, you can join as a CSA vegetable member and then say, "Oh, and by the way, can I add on eggs? Can I add on milk?" And it's not just a great way to get your food. It's not just a great way to go to the farm and get to know your farmer. And a lot of people have opportunities for people to do volunteer work there. Most CSAs have some kind of dinner during the summer. So then you meet everybody else who's getting their farm there. When we pick up our CSA, I'm always surprised to run into people who I know from around town. I'm like, "I didn't know you had a CSA here." It's it's delightful to go and just find another way to connect with people around food.
It's working capital. Really.
It is exactly.
Without interest, it allows the farmer to actually do the work, grow the food, and then you get the benefits of having food every week, different kinds of food that are seasonal.
Seasonal and different. Sometimes you may get something like Spigarello in your CSA share, and you're like, what am I going to do with this?
What am I going to do
with
that?
And then, you know, thank goodness for the internet. You can look it up and get different kinds of recipes. Most farmers will have little recipe cards there for you. But it's a great way to learn more about food. Tons of vegetable farms have pick your own fields, so you can go pick your own cherry tomatoes, your own berries, your own herbs, CSAs for flowers. It's also, I lost my train of thought there.
It's okay.
It's just a really great way to make to complete the circle.
Yeah, and sometimes the CSAs have, you know, work on the farm week. You're like, I know when my kids went to the summer camp at Hawthorne Valley Farm, they got to shovel horse poop.
Chicken poop. Yay!
Poop. Yeah, I mean, that's part of the game. And when your kids come and they have a chance to, like, and you could joke about poop for the rest of the week with your family just by going to the farm, and it creates community.
Or they'll have garlic. Come and help us harvest the garlic. That's a lot of garlic. It all has to be pulled within a few days. And they'll have, you know, CSAs will have garlic pulling days.
Nice.
I remember my kids coming home and singing a song that they learned when they were helping harvest the garlic at camp.
Do you have awards for any of the farmers or any kind of gala where there's some recognition for the farmer or for one of the new programs?
Well, we don't run any kind of grant program. Berkshire Grown is going to have a gala celebration this fall. Save that, those October weekends. One of those will be celebrating farmers and celebrating local food. I think one of the things that has become really clear to me since the pandemic, and even in these last couple years where federal support has become so uncertain, that as a nonprofit, you don't really want to depend on it. You don't want to plan your budget on that because it can be canceled at a whim.
At a whim, yeah. Especially if we're not funding our food.
Right.
As you can see, we're giving kickbacks to companies like Bayer to make as much subsidy of glyphosate as possible. So, you know, and when people are requesting something else, it seems like sometimes in ideology world, it's not one of the seven words. Bass backwards. Now, that being said, it's an opportunity to kind of take a look at how the community can support itself and build structures outside of government that work to support the community.
And I think, you know, like in our fundraising at the end of the year, I was just blown away from the generosity and support from our local community members. You know, it's really allowed us to take a bigger step away from that kind of dependence on federal funding. And I'm not saying we don't get federal funding. We do have some really strong grants from them, but you don't want to depend on it anymore.
Yeah, so you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm your super water man, your ambassador for water, with Margaret Moulton, executive director for Berkshire Grown. And super psyched, we got two more minutes. So if people want to get involved, what is there to do? If you're a local farmer, you haven't heard of Berkshire Grown, or if you're someone from around the world who wants to build something similar to Berkshire Grown in your region, how can people get in touch, find out more?
You can always go to our website, berkshiregrown.org. If you're a local farmer, you can join. It's not very much money, and we do produce a guide to local food and farms every year, and all of our farmer members are listed in there. We list all of the local farmers' markets. We also list all the food access sites that are brick-and-mortar food access sites. I think it's really important for people to understand that those of us who can afford to buy local food, that's great. There are a lot of people who can't, but we're doing the best we can to get local food into those sites. Right now, I'd say the best thing you can do is buy a CSA. And you can go to our website. We have a searchable map that will show you all the farms around Berkshire area that have CSAs. It describes whether it's a meat CSA, a flour CSA, fruit, vegetables. This is the time of year that it'll really make a difference to farmers.
Yeah, so you got your food marching orders. If you're not in our region, number one, join a CSA. Number two, go to a farmer's market, support your local food and farmer, or visit the farm stand. And then if you're from here, find out more about Berkshire Grown. And even if you're not from here, so you could copy what they're doing. Again, thanks again for joining And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Thanks again, Margaret, for doing the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Very excited.
Thanks. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about food and farms, things I love.
Food and farms. Gotta love food and farms, because food and farms, let's go see if we can provide something in that realm of food and farms. And be right with you. Got a little bit more water music coming your way.
Pittsfield has a rock and roll water show. Water's voice from the Berkshires to all around our big blue marble. You're listening to And So It Flows on WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, where water gets loud, water music, water culture, comedy, poetry, deep water conversations. I'm Leslie Gabriel, your Super Waterman Ambassador for Water. Find us on Apple, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Podcast Republic, and anywhere you get your podcast. We've got some more music coming your way. Super psyched to be with you. And stay tuned. Love your H2O.
Little technical stuff. I love the authenticity of being in a studio doing a live show. Hold on 1 second. We're going to get this working. Uh-oh. Looks our connection is not there. Let's go see if we can connect. Got some more music coming your way, just waiting for the internet to reconnect here. Let's come on. There we go. Got some of that going on. Hold on 1 second. Be right with you. We got a little bit of Eddie Money coming your way. Walk on Water. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O here at WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Well, if I could walk on water, and if I could find some way to prove, if I could walk on water, would you believe in me? My love is so true.
Now it's time for Silly Songs with Laddie, the part of the show where Laddie comes out and sings a silly song. So without further ado, Silly Songs with Laddie.
The Water Buffalo Song. Everybody's got a water buffalo. Yours is fast, but mine is slow. Oh, where do we get them? I don't know. But everybody's got a water buffalo. I took my buffalo to the store. Got his head stuck in the door. Spilled some lima beans on the floor. Oh, everybody got a...
Stop right this instant. What do you think you're doing? You can't say everyone's got a water buffalo and everyone does not have a water buffalo. We're going to get nasty letters saying, where's my water buffalo? Why don't I have a water buffalo? And are you prepared to deal with that? I don't think so. Just stop being so silly.
This has been Silly Songs with Laddie. Tune in next time to hear Laddie sing.
Everybody got a baby kangaroo. Yours is pink, but mine is blue. Hers was small.
Abundance of water. The food.